The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Good, thank you. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Psalm 139. Look at verses 7 through 10, and I want to speak on, do you have a secret? And watch this. This is whether shall I go from thy spirit or whether shall I flee from thy spirit? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Let's pray again. Father, tonight we ask you for your blessing. God, we pray as we talk about this tonight that it would be something that is very easily understood and adapted as a practice in our personal lives. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember growing up as a little boy when my dad would dress up as Santa Claus. My dad would get one of those cheap invitation type of Santa suits that was plastic, very cheap. And he would go down and he'd buy it at some superstore somewhere, and he'd put it on, and he'd sit down, and it was so cheap that when he sat down, it would rip. And we could see the color of his shirt, and we knew it was Dad, but we never let Dad know that it was him. Come to find out later on, we found out that Dad was doing it for us, but we just kind of thought Dad was doing it for himself. And so we made believe we didn't know who it was. But I never forget going down the night before Christmas, and my brothers and I did some things to find out secrets. We would go down and we would pick up the boxes and we would shake them. And then we found out that pen knives worked real well. And so, I know. And so we would take and cut open the corner of the boxes, lay the lap down, look inside, find out what it was, and then we put it back up and put tape around it. That's not a good thing to do, especially if you get caught. Kind of ruins Christmas. But I remember doing stuff like that, and I remember the next day, though, honestly, when you do stuff like that, it took the thrill out of it because you knew what you were getting. We did that a couple Christmases, and my brothers and I, we always conspired together. We were like guys on a mission, you know, and so we always kind of got together, and we always talked about stuff before we launch out and do some things, and so we got together, and we talked about it, and we thought, you know, that's just ruining Christmas. It really is, and so let's just be surprised. And did you know when we didn't do that, we were actually surprised, and we stopped doing it altogether. Aren't you proud of me? We stopped doing it altogether, and we were absolutely surprised at every Christmas thereafter. You know, I found out that there's some couples that get ready to have children, and here's what they say. I say, well, do you know, is it going to be a boy or is it going to be a girl? And here's what they say. We don't want to know. We just want to be surprised. We have done several things to surprise people here at Parkside Baptist Church. I remember Brother Butler did a great job in orchestrating this for me, and I'm letting the cat out of the bag about you, but it was Brother Smale's birthday, and so Brother Butler orchestrated having a surprise birthday party for him in chapel, and he walked out, and I normally preach in College Chapel every Friday, and I met with the young people, and I said, well, what do you think? And they said, don't preach. Let's just have a party. And so that's Bible college students, you know. And so I said, okay. And so I didn't preach on Friday, and we just had a knockdown, drag-out fun party, you know. And there was the birthday cake that came. There was all sorts of gifts that was given and all sorts of cards and stuff like that. And we just had a whale of a time. And it was a surprise. It was a surprise. There is nothing like having a secret. Let me show you a couple of things tonight. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, normally, if you come to church on a Wednesday night, normally what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you on Wednesday night. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you an outline, and I'm going to teach you. We're now studying on Wednesday nights, understanding God's authority. And so when you come on Wednesday night, I give you an outline, and I'm a little bit more settled, and I really don't jump around a whole lot and stuff like that. And so tonight it might be just that way. I might not get too hyper, and I might be somebody that just kind of stays to my outline a little bit. But I promise you, you'll learn something tonight. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says to take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. It says, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, it says, look to what it says, verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But it says, when thou doest alms, it says, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth. It says, thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. All right? So he says, when you do alms, when you give a gift, he's talking about giving that gift in secret. In other words, you don't make a big display of the gift and say, look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. Look how I have met the need. Look what I have done in order to be able to receive that which is credit for that which has been given. He said, well, that's like the hypocrites do, because they walk up and down the street and they go to the synagogues and they pat themselves on the back in a public fashion, and they say, look what I have done. So when it comes to being able to giving gifts, God says that we ought to be able to have the privilege of giving some gifts in secret. Now, what are those type of gifts? Well, the Bible says over in Psalm 41 in verse 1, says, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. So the Bible says that we ought to be able to help some poor people by showing kindness in giving of gifts. So look for somebody that's less fortunate than you are and give a gift. By the way, did you know that we run buses here at Parkside Baptist Church? We presently have 7 bus routes that go out, and 7 bus routes that bring the underprivileged to church, to bring the needy to church that otherwise do not have a means in order to get the church. And we give sacrificially to make that happen. We give sacrificially to be able to put gas in the buses, sacrificially to first off purchase a bus, then put insurance on the bus, and then make sure the bus has good upkeep on it mechanically, and make sure that it's safe and functionally able to run. And then we make sure that it has a gas to be able to go in the bus. And it takes a lot of money to be able to run a bus ministry. You know, the bus kids that ride our buses do not pay. We do not charge them to get on the bus. We do not ask them to pay for the gas when they get on the bus. We do not ask them to pay for the upkeep or the insurance to get on the bus. But yet you and I both know that if it was not for sacrificial people giving, there would be a lot of boys and girls that would not have the privilege to hear the gospel, because a lot of churches that used to run buses and used to care for those that were the lost and dying world do not do that anymore. They reach, now don't get mad at me, but they only want to reach the upper crust. That's all they want to do. Now, may I say, that is not what God says that we ought to do. We ought to give the gospel to everybody, and everybody deserves the right to hear the gospel. Everybody deserves the right to be able to come to Sunday school, sit in a Sunday school class, have a teacher love them and to teach them and try and help them to get something inside of their heart and stir them to do something for God. Everybody deserves the right to come to a church like Parkside Baptist Church, where the man of God's going to get up, open the Bible, and preach the Bible so that somebody can be helped and stirred and somebody's life can be changed. Hey, thank God for the bus ministry. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17, the Bible says, he that hath pity, it says, upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. So when we invest money in helping out those that are less fortunate than we are, when we help those that cannot help themselves, God said, let me tell you the way I view that. I view that as you are lending unto the Lord. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 27, the Bible says, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. So you say, well, I tell you what. And in this how our society is nowadays, here's what we say. I tell you what. I am not going to help that poor person because after all, what do I get out of it? Let me tell you what you get out of it. What you get out of it is God above looks at you and says, when you help a poor person, you have loaned to me. Now, you cannot loan money to somebody better or bigger than God. Not only that, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that when you give to the poor, God himself says, I'm going to make sure you don't lack. You don't lack. You're not wasting your time. You're not wasting your money. You're not wasting your effort. I would not attend a church that did not have some type of transportational system set up for that which is reaching out to those that are less fortunate so that they can have a way to come to church, a way to sit in the pew, a way to hear the Bible. I wouldn't go to a church that just sent missionaries on the foreign field but didn't love God enough to be able to go out and give a gospel track to a neighbor that lives in a neighborhood somewhere. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 7, the Bible says, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor. That little bus kid that rides that bus that doesn't have a mom or dad that loves them, has a brother or sister that doesn't care for them and gives the wrong type of testimony and is out there doing drugs and running up and down the neighborhood, they need somebody to care. That stranger that's out there that we pick up on a Sunday morning that gets on a bus and he doesn't smell like you and he doesn't look like you and he doesn't have the right type of etiquette in order to sit in church and not offend somebody. But thank God they're welcome at a church that reaches out to everybody. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what degrees you have of your education. And it doesn't matter in pretense what you try to take and tell everybody that you have. I'm saying this. You ought to thank God that we have a church that is kind to the poor. Now God says we could do that in secret. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, and whosoever hath the world's goods and seeth a brother in need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, if we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now here's what God says. We can give alms, if you will. We can give secret gifts. We can be able to do that for the kindness of the poor, and we can do this for the kindness of the brethren. He says, when you see a brother that has a need, you don't have to go up and say, hey, let me help you and make a big display of it. What you could do is you could do it in secret. You could do it so that only God knows what you have done. You could pay on a college student's bill and never tell them. Never tell them. Man, if I was a college student, I was behind on my bill, I'd be shouting amen right now. But you could pay, let me say it again. You could pay on a college student's bill. That's the five that's behind on their school bill. But you could do that secretly. You know, you could help somebody. We had a church. Brother Sandy Bozeman is the pastor. I have never met a pastor in all my days that was more giving and more kind to us than that particular pastor when we traveled in evangelism. He asked me one day, we were out eating, and he said, Brother Wells, he said, you know, what do you need in your life? And I said, well, what I need is pretty expensive. I said, I just don't know if I ought to share it with you. And he said, no, I'm asking you. He said, we want to be a blessing, and if you don't let us be a blessing, then God can't bless us. By the way, isn't that the way God works? See, we got this thing all messed up. Here's what we think. We think get all we can, put it in the can, and sit on the can. But here's what God says. God says, I give it to be able to give through you. You know what I found out in my ministry? I found out this, that God will give more through me than God will actually give to me. But God is looking for somebody to be a vessel to help somebody else. Sandy said, Brother Bozeman said, he said, I said, well, you know, I just blew up a laptop. And he said, well, yeah, let me get you a laptop. And I said, Brother Bozeman, they're expensive. And so he went out and he bought me one of the most expensive Apple laptops that you could find. And he said, by the way, I know that Brother Jonathan travels with you and he's doing some design work right now and stuff like that. He said, good night. He said, let's just buy two. And he bought two. Then he got up in church that night and he said, by the way, church, I hope you're happy because we just spent $3,500 of your money today. And now that I've done it, we need to vote on it. That is just the way his people trusted him. And that is just the relationship that they had together. And they just loved for their pastor to love other people. There's a missionary came through there. You remember the story? Missionary came through and he needed a car. Brother Bozeman went out, bought him a car. And then he came back and he said, I just spent $10,000 and we need to take a vote tonight that it's okay. Well, don't get scared. I'm not going to do that. We always vote before. But I'm saying he had such a love for people and his people had such a trust for him that they just trusted him to the point, to the degree, and I know you trust me too, but to the point and the degree that he was able to love. And he did that and he was showing kindness to the brethren. You know, it is good to be able to show kindness to the brethren. Somebody comes up to you and they say, wow, I really like that tie. Take a note of it and then try and save up and buy them the tie. Somebody comes up and they say, well, I tell you what, boy, I really like those shoes. Hey, take a note of. Now, teenagers, don't go up to everybody tonight and say, I like that tie, I like those shoes, I like that jacket. But you understand that the brethren here need that type of love. Hey, look, you ever have somebody give you a paper handshake? That encourages somebody. Give them a paper handshake and say, man, I love you. I'm glad you're here. This is for a coffee. Encourage them. Take somebody out to eat. Encourage them. Put some notes up here on the pulpit just to encourage some people. When it comes somebody's birthday, put some presents up here for us to be able to recognize them and give them out in the church service. Hey, encourage some people. Do something for the kids. Be able to love the children of our church. Let them know that they're cared for. And let them know that somebody loves them. I'm saying this. I'm saying show some kindness to some people. Wait a minute. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says show kindness to your enemies. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 14, the Bible says a gift, it says, in secret pacifieth anger. All right, you say, I got somebody, they're angry at me. What do? You give them a gift. No, not a bomb. Not a loaded gun with a hair trigger. No, here's what it says. It says a gift in secret pacifieth anger. And it says the reward in the bosom is strong wrath. All right, wait a minute. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 20, the Bible says, therefore, it says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. So what are you supposed to do when somebody is angry with you, when somebody is upset with you? Here's what you do. You give them something to drink. You feed them. You pacify them by giving a gift. That's what the Bible says. There was a preacher I knew years ago, Dr. Hiles. Dr. Hiles, whenever somebody would rise up and they would say bad things against him, he'd buy him a Bible. He'd buy him a suit. He'd give them gift certificates to be able to go out to their finest restaurant. Now, why did he do that? Because the Bible talks about how when you do that, what you're doing is you're helping that person to overcome the offense. Or statement number one, I said this, give a gift in secret. Statement number two, pray a prayer in secret. Pray a prayer in secret. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says over in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 5, the Bible says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They, watch it says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen of men. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door. All right? And so there ought to be some times when you pray in secret. You will stand no stronger on your feet than you do on your knees. If you will take and spend more time in prayer, that will change people's lives. So pray in secret. Don't walk up and down the hallway. And by the way, when you go soul winning, don't stand at a door and pray for people to be saved out loud. They'll never come to the door. But you can quietly pray for somebody as you're walking down the street going up to the door. You can pray for somebody without them knowing it. You can come to the altar and you can pray for a loved one, or you can pray for somebody that's hurting. You can do that in secret without texting them every single time you pray for them. Just want you to know I prayed for you again. Just want you to know I'm praying for you that you will. You don't have to always tell people that you're praying for them, but you can pray in secret. And God said, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't get out there and stand on the street corners, and don't get out there and do it in the synagogue, a churchy type of thing. Don't do that. He said, what you do is you take and you can pray in secret also. Wait a minute. So you can give a gift in secret. You can pray in secret. Are you ready? You can have a secret burden that nobody knows. How many people tonight, just asking a question, how many people tonight have some type of burden? Raise your hand. Some type of burden. You ready for this? How many people tonight have some type of burden that only you and God knows about? Raise your hand. That's right, mine's up too. Did you know that you can have burdens that are heavy that, to be honest with you, you just really can't share it with anybody else? There are some burdens that are heavy that you know inside of your heart that you can't share it with anybody else because they just won't understand. But you can take those burdens to God. Here's what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 6, look back at it, look at verse 16. The Bible says, moreover, it says, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. And boy, he's using these hypocrites to teach us a lesson, isn't he? He says, be not as the hypocrites, it says, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. See, every time that somebody does it to get praise, God said, you already got your reward. Every time somebody does something in order to get attention, God says, that is your reward. Every time you go and you do something and your motive is, I'm going to do this so somebody can see me, so that somebody can give me the attention because look at what I did and who I am, God said, that's fine because what you did and you got recognition for what you did, he says this, that's your reward. All right, here's what he says though. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, but thou, it says, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, watch what it says, and wash thy feet. Now the Pharisees are outside, and what they're doing is they're just showing everything off. They've got their faces all distorted. I mean, it's all disfigured. They've gone out, they painted. When they would pray, they'd pray on the street corners, and they would put on these type of robes that would draw people's attention, and they would disfigure their faces, and they would get out there, and they lift their voices up high, and all they were doing was get that attention from man. God said there needs to be some times when you just get along with God. And I'm telling you something, there's nobody that understands your burden like God. There's nobody that can change somebody else's life through your prayers like God. There's nobody that can influence humanity like God. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, it says that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, watch what he does, shall reward thee openly. He says, so when you pray, you got a burden for your finances. Hey, pray about that, but not everybody needs to know. You got a burden for your marriage. Well, pray about that, but not everybody needs to know. You got a burden for your children. Well, pray about that. But not everybody needs to know. You got a burden for your ministry or your loved one. Well, you go to God and you pray about that. Somebody's gone astray, or somebody has a need in their life, or illness in the body, or a sin in the heart, or there's a heavy weight upon their mind, or a grandchild that's hurting, or a cousin or a sibling. What do? You can pray about all those things, But you don't have to tell anybody. Because after all, sometimes there's some burdens. Never forget when I was in college, every Friday I would go up to the weight room and I would pray. The weight room shut down at 9. And I asked Brother Appleby. Brother Appleby was the dean of men at my Bible college. And I asked Brother Appleby, I said, could I go up and just be in the prayer room? Which, you know, he knew what I was talking about. It was a weight room where they lifted weights, but there was an area over there that I'd been praying. I said, can I go up and stay a little bit longer? And would it be okay if I go up at about 10 o'clock and I got all my chores done around the dorm, and so can I go up at 10 o'clock and just pray for my mom and daddy to get saved from 10 o'clock to 12 midnight every Friday? And so Brother Appleby said, yeah, you can do that. So I would go up on Friday nights, and I would pray for, now I'd pray for my parents all week long, but there was just something about getting alone where nobody else could see me, nobody else could find me, weight room was all locked up, there was the street lights that were shining in, I had no lights on the inside, and I would go over beside that window, and I would kneel down, and for about 2 hours, I would do nothing but weep and cry and beg God for my parents to get saved. I would always lock the weight room. One night, I don't know what happened, but one night I left the weight room, not intentionally, but unintentionally unlocked. I was tired that night, and I went over, and every Friday I'd spend 2 hours in prayer just for mom and dad to get saved. And I went over, and I knelt down in that corner over there as the streetlights were shining in, and I was praying for mom and daddy to get saved, and all of a sudden I heard the door squeak open. Now, you know, nobody's supposed to come in. It's supposed to be locked. But I knew I had permission, so I wasn't in trouble, so I just ignored it. And all of a sudden, there came a shadow of a body over beside me, and here was a man that I could not stand. Matter of fact, I detested him. He had buck teeth. Now, I didn't detest him because he had buck teeth. If you got buck teeth, I love you. God bless you. But he would eat in the college cafeteria, Cody, across from me. And he would talk while he would eat. Don't get ahead of me. But when he would talk, because he had those teeth that was disconfigured, you know, he would spit. Man, he'd get excited, and the more excited he got, the more he shared his food. So I'd be sitting there, and he'd be, hup, 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 you know, and you're over there like this. And I couldn't stand to be around the guy. I mean, I paid for my meal. I didn't want his to. And he bothered me. I'm telling you, he just bothered me to no end. And so I would go down to the college cafeteria, and I'd pretty well wait till there was like only one seat that was left. And I'd go in, I'd sit there. He'd be over there. And then he'd do this every time. He'd come over. The guy that was sitting across from me, he said, would you mind moving? I want to sit across from him. And he would. Every single time. And I'm thinking, why? What did I do wrong? And he would sit there, and he wanted to become my friend, but I didn't want to be his friend. I couldn't stand the guy. You know, I'm not going to tell his name, but I couldn't stand. All right, then all of a sudden, it squeaks open that night. Silhouettes coming over to where I am. I'm bawling my eyes out for mom and daddy to get saved. I mean, I'm banging on all the doors of heaven. Man, I'm praying. And I am so burdened that night. And all of a sudden, a body leans down beside me. And he puts his arm on me. And he begins to pray for my mom and daddy. And it was that guy. And I thought, this is incredible. And every single Friday, he would come up there then. I didn't ask him, but I'll be honest with you, after that night, I left the door unlocked. And every Friday night when I would pray, I would hear it going, and I thought, he's coming. Oh, by the way, we didn't talk one time. We did not talk one time. He would come in, Brother Mason, he put his arm around me, and he would say, I want to pray with you. He never prayed for his mom. He never prayed for his dad. He never prayed for anybody but my mom, my dad, and my brothers to get saved. That's all he ever did. When he'd get done praying, he'd pat me on the back, and he said, it's going to be okay. And he'd leave. Just like that. I used to pray at my bunk before I'd go to bed, and before you know it, he started showing up at my bunk. He'd come over, and he'd put his arm around me, and he'd say, I'm going to pray with you. He'd show up at my bunk. So now he's coming in into cafeteria, and I started saving him seats. Started saying, hey, why don't you sit right here? Now, I was smart because I never saved him a seat across from me. There's a such thing as wisdom where you get out of the line of fire. So I saved him a seat right beside me. And so he would come and he'd sit beside me, and boy, he'd be excited and he'd be talking to someone, and he'd look that way and that guy over there was going like this. I'd be smiling. But you know who the best man was in my wedding? Was that man. Now, can I tell you why? Because when you start to pray with someone, when all of a sudden somebody begins to share, you have a secret burden, and somebody comes up and they begin to say, look, I want a part of that. I want to, now, by the way, don't be so proud that you say, oh, I can handle it. It is okay. Look, if God touches somebody's heart to be your friend, thank God for that. If God touches somebody's heart to pray with you, thank God for that. Stop trying to live on your own little island and survive. You need a friend. You need somebody that will love you. You need somebody that will stay. Stop trying to be that person that is all self-sufficient within yourself. You're missing out on a lot of blessings of life. If somebody's trying to extend that hand and to love you, don't shove it away. Accept it. Let God use somebody in your life. You'll thank God later on that he did. I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's giving gifts in secret. There's praying in secret. There's casting or having a burden in secret. I'm almost done. There's the secret discouragement. How many of you have ever been discouraged? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you ever been discouraged and you never told anybody about your discouragement? Raise your hand. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, the Bible says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate to get with somebody and say, look, I've got something that I've been kind of discouraged a little bit, and I've just got to tell you about my discouragement. And you say, please don't tell anybody. And as soon as they leave your presence, it's on Facebook, it's been Twittered, a mass email goes out. It's now in the Dallas Times. I mean, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. We had a lady in my church where I pastored in Tennessee. I called her Sister Flatjaw. She's one of the deacon's wives. I said, Tennessee. And I called her, didn't I, honey? I called her Sister Flapjaw. I called her that to her face. I said, boy, it's good to see you, Sister Flapjaw. How you doing? I mean, because that's who she was. I'm going, boo, 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 boo. You don't want to tell her anything, because if you told her anything, everybody knew it. So she was a great telegraph, telephone, telewoman. She was that type of woman. And so if I had a secret, I'd just tell her, and the whole world would know. It's cheaper that way. But she hated me. I don't know why anybody would hate me, but she hated me. Man, I'd get up and preach on something, she'd stare me down. I mean, you could tell she did not like me. You know, I'd hit the pulpit and she, I was like, I'm getting ready to get bit. Man, I hope I got my rabies shots. But she didn't like me. You could tell. One night, the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of her. I mean, big time. She comes down the aisle and she says, preacher,
God got a hold of my heart tonight.
I said, good.
She said, preacher, I've been talking so bad about you. I shouldn't have talked bad about you. And she said, I'm so sorry.
I said, I'm glad.
He said, what do I do? I don't know what to do.
I said, put your tongue around the altar and cut it off. When I go back, there is no lady in that entire area that loves us more than this dear lady. When all of a sudden, isn't it right, honey? When she took care of that issue, all of a sudden, we became her heroes. She couldn't do enough. I mean, now instead of me walking down the hallway, she'd come up to me and she'd say, preacher, it is good to see you. Can I do anything for you this morning? Every time I go back through the area and she finds that we're coming back through the area, you know what she does? She will go out of her way to do extra things. See, when you have a critical spirit, it affects the way that you see people. And sometimes you will have people that will disagree with you, and sometimes you will disagree with yourself to the point that it will disturb others around you. I've said this often, not have a part of the problem, nor have a part of the solution, then you don't need to know. If you're not a part of the problem and you're not a part of the solution, it's none of your business. Curtis Hudson said, keep the circle of offense small. It's easier to fix problems that way. Did you know, husbands and wives that have a disagreement, you don't always have to tell your kids that you disagree with each other. Parents that have disagreements with in-laws don't always have to tell the kids. Neighbors that have disagreements, you don't always have to tell the kids. Parents and teachers that disagree, you don't always have to tell the school. Parents and children disagree, you don't always have to tell your friends about your parents. Children in the Christian school that disagree, you don't always have to get in your little circle of gossips. I'm saying this tonight, be careful not to spread the disagreements or to text the disagreements or the email the disagreements or the call and say, would you please pray? Don't complain always about, have that Christ spirit of being forgiving, have that Christ spirit of forgetting about it, and have that Christ spirit of simply moving on. I'm saying tonight, there's the secret gift, the secret prayer, the secret burden, the secret disagreement. Are you ready? Secret sin. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 19 and verse 12, the Bible says, who can understand his heirs? Says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Whenever there's a secret fault or a secret sin, you ought to run immediately to God and say, God, help me. Nobody else knows it, but I know it. Help me. You ought to have a desire to be so close to God tonight that nothing comes between you and your Savior. Psalm 90 and in verse 8, the Bible says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. When a person, come on now, when a person all of a sudden is in a secret sin and the pastor comes up and the pastor says, and nails it, you all of a sudden see their head go down for prayer. You all of a sudden see that the eyes shift, the countenance changes. Now, it ought not to be that way. We ought to be open to God. And by the way, you're open to God whether you think you're open to God or not. But we ought to be open to God and let God work. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, the Bible says, God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Luke chapter 8 and verse 17, the Bible says, for nothing is secret that it shall not be made manifest, and neither is anything hid that it may not be made known and made come abroad. And so it doesn't matter what it is. God says, I know. Person says, well, I only smoke in private. I only smoke in secret. But God knows. Person says, well, I tell you what, I only get drunk sometime when nobody's looking. But God knows. But you know, I've got a hang up and it's pornography and the magazines and the internet and it's just eating me on the inside. Well, why don't you get some help? Why don't you come to somebody and why don't you get with God and let God clean up your mind and clean up your heart so that God can use you? Going to the wrong places, God sees it. Wrong friends, God sees it. Wrong television viewing or internet view, God sees it. Jealousy and envy, God sees it. Hatred and bitterness in the heart, God sees it. Wrong type of music, a wrong type of things. Hey, God sees it. Here's what he says. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Place. By the way, if it's wrong, are you listening to me? If it's wrong in public, if it's wrong in public, then it should be wrong in your house. Man, don't be one of these Christians that live one way in the public eye and another way and not the public eye. You be close to God through and through. It says, beholding the evil and the good. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24, the Bible says, can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? He says, there's no way you can hide from it. There's just no way. Let me tell you how God will use you. God will use you to the point that you're completely surrendered and empty of self and things that entangle you with the affairs of this life. God will use you. Oh, come on. You remember the day when all of a sudden a preacher preached somewhere and you came to the altar and you laid everything on the altar and you got thoroughly right with God. You remember that? You remember when you got up how good it felt? You remember when you walked outside and the stars were shining brighter? You remember when you breathed, the air just seemed like it was fresher? You remember that all of a sudden there was a melody in your heart that you've not heard or you've not sung or you've not whistled in a long time, but then all of a sudden it comes back? Come on. You remember that? You remember it seemed like that as you just talked to God at a whisper, God heard every word and every prayer you prayed, God was going to come through. You remember that? You remember when you teach and you remember when you get up to preach and you had so much liberty and so much freedom because you were all in God's hand. You remember that? It just kind of flowed, didn't it? It just kind of eased out. No strain. Remember that? But as you let things cloud you, all of a sudden now it's hard. Because you're dealing with things in secret that God says, I want to help you with. I want to take care of. I watched about a year ago one of her college girls. She's walking down the hallway. I watched her for about 2 months. And I watched the countenance had fallen. So I called her in my office and I said, let's talk. Something's changed. I don't know what it is, but somewhere along the line, something has changed. Now I want you to know, number one, you have a pastor that loves you. Number two, you have a pastor that's here for you. Number three, no matter what you tell me, I'm not going to broadcast it to the world. Number four, I'm here to help you. What's going on? Yeah, she started crying. She started telling me all this stuff. I was able to help her, able to pray with her, able to give her counsel. And I'm telling you, right then and there, something happened, Brother Smell. And she left there smile back, happiness back, joy back, singing up and down the hall. It was totally different. You know why? Because she needed somebody to step in and say, you can make it. You can do it. God can help you. You don't have to face this by yourself. See, sometimes those things that are in secret, come on. Told the girls, I preach now in Young Fundamentalists every Sunday night. And I told our girls over there, I said, boy, you remember the day when all of a sudden you had a burden about something? Remember that? You had a burden about something? I said, you remember the day when you come to the altar and you'd huddle and you'd cry because you had a burden about something? You remember that? I said, you know, you remember how you would gather and you'd pray and you'd encourage each other and you'd sniff and, you know, tears coming down and nose a running and nasty. But you felt so good, didn't you? Listen to me, church. You felt so good, didn't you? Do you realize even in fundamentalism, we can get so caught up in doing right that we forget the closeness of God? I'm telling you, there's something wrong about churches today that you're more in a hurry to get out of church than you are to fellowship with people that are in church. There's something that's not normal. When a person, all of a sudden, church is over and they shoot out the door. They get in their car and they go off into their lonely, secluded place. There's something wrong there. Why is it? My Bible says that you'll love the brethren. You'll enjoy each other's company. You'll enjoy being around people. Is there something secret inside that's damaging you? Brother Stephen Bryant was my soul winning partner last Saturday and the Saturday before. We're out door knocking together Saturday morning. He can attest to this. Knocked at the door. We knocked at that. You remember that one lady? Knocked at the door. And I said, hey, I'm Pastor Wells, Parkside Baptist Church. This is Stephen, one of our young married men. We're just out caring about people. I want to invite you to church. She said, Baptist church? I will never go to another Baptist church. She said, this lady was probably, Stephen, probably 70, 80. Yeah. She said, I will never go to a Baptist church. She said, years ago, I got hurt in a Baptist church. A preacher did me wrong. And I will never go back to a Baptist church in all the days that I live. Never. I apologize for the preacher. I said, I'm sorry you got hurt. I apologize for that. But even when you go to Walmart, they're all different. You can go to Walmart over here and get hurt. That don't mean you ought to live against Walmarts. She said, well, you don't understand. She said, I got hurt. Now, I'm telling you, she said, I got hurt when I was a child. And she said, didn't she say this? She said, even if there's a funeral in a Baptist church, I won't go to it. I stay far away from it. You know what the problem is? There's something secret inside that she's never dealt with. And that something that is secret inside is eating her like a cancer. What holds you back? What holds you back? Well, I've got a friend. Well, I've got an enemy. Well, I've got a grievance. Well, I've got a burden. Well, I've got a financial problem. Well, I've got whatever it is. If it's holding you back from being close to God, can I tell you something? It's not worth it. It is not worth it. I'm telling you this tonight. If you got a secret, sometimes you just got to go to God and say, God, I have nowhere else to go. I don't know what to do. God, I need your help to be able to make it through. I don't know what to do. That weight room. Man, I get up there Friday nights. Friday nights, I'd just get on my knees and I'd just pray and I'd cry and I'd cry and I'd cry. I'd just cry. Sometimes I had such a burden that I just couldn't put it in words. I just wanted mom and daddy saved. That's all I knew. And I just cry, and sometimes the words just would not come out because I cared for mom and daddy. May I say tonight, when nobody else understands, God does. God does. Can I ask you to do something? Would you be willing to let God in on some of your secrets? Would you be willing to come to God and say, God, I got some things that are burdening me, and God, I need your help.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.